this is a topic that is not easy. So I feel like, you know, you guys know, I feel like I always get the hard topics up here. But let's pray before we get started. Lord, we thank you for this day, God. And I just thank you that you're going to, Lord, you're just going to speak through me today, God. I pray that I would decrease so that you could increase, God. And I just thank you that you're going to be with us today. Lord, I pray that everything that we say and do, Lord, everything that we say and do, God, that we would remember we have to give an account for it. So I pray today, Father God, that you would solidify that in our hearts. God, that we would grow and we would change because that's what you've called us to do, God. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today I am closing out the family road trip series. And if you have been with us this summer, then you know we have talked about things like making and having a plan for your family. Richie kicked off our series with making and having a plan for your family. We talked about having a vision for your family. Where is your family going? Do you have a vision for your family? We talked about what is a good dad. Richie kicked that off on Father's Day, talking about the aspects of a good dad. We talked about things like kids rule. Last week was kids rule. We talked about those things where not so much that kids rule your home, but that kids have rules and that also that we as a family operate in those rules so that they can grow and become all that God has called them to be. And then this week, I have the very awesome pleasure of talking to you about family conflict, which is something so amazing because you know what happens when you are talking about a subject like this. If you've ever been in this position before, then you know the Lord is so good because he tests you. He tests us before he lets us speak on behalf. And so even this week, we went through a little bit of a conflict. And I just want to show you, if you don't mind playing my clip, this is maybe a little bit about what our conflict looked like.
No, please, no. You're horrible. You're horrible. You're horrible.
If you've seen that movie before, then you know the crux of that story. But the bottom line is this. She wanted to do something, and her grandmother, who was raising her, said no. And if you think for one second that I am depicting in that was my children, it was not. It was me definitely slamming the door. And you're horrible! And but it was one of those moments, and then, you know, you react in a certain way, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminds you of, like, what are you speaking on this weekend? You know, it was one of those times where I was like, dang it, I blew it. So, you know, going through the process of we have to apologize, we have to ask for forgiveness, we have to talk about those things. But one of the great things about going through conflict is that it tests two things. It shows you two things. The first thing is this. It shows you how far you've come. How far you've come. Because stuff that should have made me react or would have normally made me react doesn't make me react anymore. But then it also shows you where you still have to work on a little bit. So those are the two things that conflict brings out. They bring out those two things. So it shows me how far I've come, but it also shows me those areas where I need to work on. And so keep that in mind when you engage in conflict, in any conflict, because not all conflict is bad. Not all conflict is bad. The goal should always be in Ephesians 4:1-32, pretty much the whole chapter, it talks about our goal should always be unity, always. So when we are approaching conflict, when we feel it, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our work, whether it's in our relationships with people that we love and care about, we need to remember that unity should always be the goal. Unity. It doesn't mean that we're going to agree. Agreement and unity are different. I can disagree with Sharon and still be in unity with her. That's possible. we do that in our marriage all the time. We do that in families all the time. I don't necessarily agree with your perspective, but I can still be in unity with you. That means I can still walk in relationship with you. That means I haven't allowed the enemy's voice to sever something that God is trying to use in my life as a catalyst for change. So I can do that. So remember, the goal of conflict is always unity, always unity. And whether I've been saved 1, 5, or 55 years, I should be progressing. So that means I might not react the same way back there that I did last year, but I'm getting better. So, okay, mommy blew it this week. I blew it, okay? But that means I'm going to get better. I'm going to try harder. I'm not just going to keep reacting to the same thing over and over again, utilizing the same methods of reaction or the same methods of discipline or the same methods of, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where we lower someone's self-esteem to make ourselves feel better. I'm not going to do that because I'm not perpetuating generational curses. I'm severing generational curses. So that means if God's word is given in, as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that means I got to open it up and I got to find out what, Lord, how do you want me to react in this circumstance? If you went through the lead series with us, with our leadership team in January, then some of these things that we're going to talk about today are going to feel similar. So bear with me and just keep it as a reminder. But there are 5 questions that we need to ask ourselves before we ever even engage in conflict, and they come directly from the Word of God. Directly from the Word of God. So I'm going to give you 5 points today, and I'm going to give you scripture reference to back it up. So if you're writing notes, taking notes, they'll be on the screen. But the first question that we have to answer is this: why am I feeling conflicted? What is my motive? When I approach a situation, when I approach it and I feel anger or I feel frustration, I feel myself becoming combative, I need to stop in that moment and I need to say, why am I feeling this way? And what's the motive of my frustration right now? Is it because I feel like I'm being controlled? Is it because I feel like I'm being backed into a corner? Is it because I feel powerless? And as a result of that, am I exploding and reacting? 1 Peter 5:5 says this: in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you dress yourselves in humility. All of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we need to remind ourselves in that moment, where is this frustration coming from? What is my motive for getting upset right now? And am I walking in humility or am I being proud? If we can answer those questions, then we can make some progress in our conflict. I'll tell you what, if you start asking these questions before you engage, you'll find yourself a lot less reactive and a lot more contemplative. A lot of times, we might be arguing and fighting or feeling frustration with somebody else, but really the battle is on the inside. So we have to address the internal before I can communicate externally. Always, always, always. One of the things that if you live in Florida, then you know this. You see the signs posted every time we go to the beach about rip currents. So there are 2 things that you can do when a rip current happens. If you're in the water and you get pulled, you can flail. You can be crazy and flail and be nuts. But I promise you will make 0 headway. However, you can let it take you out, and then you can calmly swim back in. And that's a lot of times what happens when we start to feel emotionally inside, like something's not right, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm frustrated. We either flail and go crazy and try to fight against it, or we can calmly embrace the situation, allow it to take us, and then figure out, okay, Lord, how do you want me to work backwards to unity from here? So that's how we can do that. The second question we have to ask ourselves is this. Have I prayed about this? Have I prayed about it? When a situation arises and something happens, do we take time to pray in that moment, or are we so quick to hurt, to harm, to say what we have to, I got to say this to you right now. But have you prayed about that? Have you prayed about it? Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. I promise you, if you pray more than you speak, if you pray more than you speak, I promise you that when you do speak, it won't fall on deaf ears, that it'll be heard. Because the Bible talks about, you know, our prayers sometimes being a noisy cymbal or clanging gong sometimes when we speak to people. And the reason being is because we talk so much because we want to be heard instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us so that when I do say something, that it has power behind it, not anger. Because eventually we start to sound like, especially in our families, like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And there's no depth to what we're saying. It's so surface, so shallow. Because we got to get it out. I got to say how I feel right now. And we don't think about that. There's this process and there's this metaphor that we use in counseling. And it's basically this. If I'm in a communication with someone or in a conflict with them, it's like having a loaded gun in your hand. Sure, some of you have heard this before. Once I pull the trigger, I can't get that gun, that bullet back into the chamber. So I can use my words, but I can never take back what I said. And if you do not think that your words have power, I want you to sit in a counseling session with Maria from a person who's probably in their 40s or 50s or 60s, dealing with the things that their parents said about them when they were 5. And 4 and 3. Your words have power. And so when we engage in communication with other people, when we engage in conflict, we have to be careful that we're not saddling people with our frustrations. And then we're wondering why can't you love me the way that I need to be loved? We do this with our kids. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We want to yield fruit from seeds that we did not plant. So we want love. We want them to love us and respect us, but we have not shown love and respect to our children. And what did we say a couple of weeks ago? If we truly want the goal for them to be in relationship with the Father and for us to be able to help them on their journey and help them as they walk with Christ, then our ultimate goal has to be that we point them to Jesus, not us. So I can't be the Holy Spirit for my kids. That's why if there are times when our girls will come to us and ask us a question, we'll say, well, what did God tell you? They're 13 and 8. But I know a lot of parents will be like, "This, mommy's going to tell you exactly what you need to do. Take notes. This is what I want you to do." Well, when I do that, I rob them of an opportunity of growth. We do that. By letting them pray about it and then say, okay, I think maybe I heard the Lord say this. What do you think? What we do is we let them have a relationship with the Lord for themselves so that when they're in college, they're not like, woo, it's party time, because they haven't practiced all along hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. They heard your voice, but you're not there anymore. So what are we going to do when they get older? We got to make sure that as families, when we engage in conflict, that we are not severing relationships, but that we are building relationships. It's always got to be the goal in our home, always. The third question we have to ask is this. Am I regularly in the Word? Regularly in the Word. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says this. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your words. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your words in my heart, that I might not sin against you. we are held responsible for everything that we say. And that our children are a gift from the Lord. And don't think that just because they're young doesn't mean we can't practice and teach these principles. I can. So if my kid comes to me and says, Mom, it bothered me. Listen, some of you are going to feel like this is disrespectful, but it's not, because we're teaching them how to communicate their frustration. Mom, it bothered me when you said this the other day. Okay. Have you prayed about it? Was what mommy said, was it biblical? And if it was biblical, why did it bother you? That's how we foster healthy communication with our kids and with our family. Because then I get an opportunity for her to grow. I get an opportunity for them to seek the Lord for themselves, but for them to also remain teachable. Remain teachable. So that when they come to us, that they hear what we have to say, and then it's tested, like Richie said in team rally today. It's got to be tested. So if it's being tested inside of them, then we have an opportunity to walk alongside them and say, yep, mommy had that same experience with the Lord when I was your age. And then we become a team. We become a unit instead of at odds with each other. How can a young person remain pure? By hiding your word in our hearts. That's how we remain pure. As parents, that's how we remain pure. That's how in our anger we don't sin. When we hide God's word in our heart, what comes out when we're squeezed should be the word. Should be the word. It shouldn't be all the anger, all the frustration, all the bad words that I'm feeling, all the negative emotions that I'm feeling. When I'm squeezed, what should come out? The word of God. Richie told this story last week about Mia, and it was really sweet. I just want to reiterate it because I think it's important. Your kids are going to go through conflict inside of themselves. And when Richie had COVID and was being escorted out by the ambulance, I was not paying attention to the girls at all, for obvious reasons. But I knew they were downstairs. So I go outside, he's in the ambulance, they're getting him in, they give me the information, and I come back in the house. And what I heard was worship music. When I was coming up the stairs, I heard worship music. And I'm thinking, what? Like, you know how situations don't make sense? So I was like, what is happening right now? I come in and Mia and Lexi are crying on the couch, but worship music is playing in the background. And it's this song of the story I'll tell. When it talks about, I don't understand what's happening to me right now, and I don't know what you're doing in this moment, but I trust you in it. I'm like, this is not an accident. This child played this song right now. She knew exactly what she was playing, because in that moment, she saw her physical daddy being escorted out, but she was running to her heavenly daddy. Parents, if you rob your kids of an opportunity of walking through conflict and seeking the Lord, then you miss out on opportunities for them to grow. In that moment, there was nothing her earthly mama or her earthly daddy could have said in that moment that was going to bring comfort to her, but she ran to her heavenly daddy. That's the growth that we want to see. So in our families, when we have conflicting moments, are we running to the word? Are we praying? Are we seeking the Lord? Or are we seeking our own healing? I'm going to say this because it's going to deliver me right now. And the problem is, it's going to kill the spirit of somebody who you want to be in relationship with in 10 years from now. So we have to remind ourselves, am I in the word? Question number 4 is this. Is it the right time and place? Is it the right time and place? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." That means that I have the power inside of me to negate what I'm feeling. I have the power. No one makes you mad. No one makes you mad. You made me blah, blah, blah. No, they didn't. We allowed ourselves to get to that point. And when we get to that point where we abandon self-control, we are creating a template for the next time that I'm in that situation. This is going to bring temporary relief, so this is what I'm going to do, but it doesn't bring long-term healing. So my temporary words, although they may make me feel better in that moment, when I sit across the table from my child in 15 years and they say, "Mom, it crushed my spirit when you said that." That's what we want to avoid. That's what we want to avoid. Never even pulling the trigger on those things that can cause damage. I have self-control inside of me. The Lord has given to me. Upon salvation, I have been given love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All I have to do is run to the Holy Spirit and run to the Father in those moments of frustration and say, "Right now, what I want to do is the opposite of what your word tells me to do. So I have to have your spirit wrestle my tongue in place right now, Lord. Keep my mind in perfect peace, God, because what I'm feeling is anxiety. What I'm feeling is frustration." And I promise you that he has given you self-discipline so that you can exercise it. And I promise you, he will teach you in those moments, don't say a word. There has been moments, and every parent can raise their hand testifying of these moments. There have been so many times when it is like, "Lord, there's a demon. I feel it." You know, as parents, sometimes you're like, "I feel like I'm looking right at a demon right now." And the Holy Spirit's like, "Shut your mouth. Oh, go pray. Oh, all I want to do is just expose the demon for what it is." You know what I mean? Or like, expose the sin for what it is. But in those moments, what's going to matter is that I pray and that I seek the Lord. And then when I do speak, that it comes from a place of love. And it comes from a place of, "I'm on your side. I'm not in opposition with you. I'm on your side. And this is what mommy sees. This is what daddy sees. But this is how we have to move past that." So it comes from a different place. The last question is this. And it says, "Do I believe there is a solution?" Do I believe there's a solution? Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn from evil." There is not always a solution to the problem. There's not. There are some situations that you're going to encounter, and there is no solution at that moment in time, because what the Lord wants you to do is run to him. There eventually could be a solution to that problem, but in that moment, we may not know it. So if I try to make something work out for my good instead of allowing the Lord to work it out for my good, what I'm going to cause is chaos. So I have to sit in it. I have to recognize, "Lord, there may be in this moment not a solution to this problem, and I'm just going to have to rely fully on you." And my ability to be able to do that shows my growth, and it ultimately gives God my yes. It ultimately gives God my yes. Band, if you don't mind coming up. If we are going to walk in the light, like the Bible says, as he's in the light, then we're going to have to show the world what it looks like to be a family unit, to disagree but still love. Because what the world sees is, "Oh, I don't like that, cancel it. Oh, I don't like that, you're done." It is devastating. My youngest is on a cheerleading squad, and we're around hundreds of parents. And it breaks my heart sometimes the way that I hear parents speak to their kids. But let me tell you something that's amazing. When you walk in this manner, when you ask these questions, when you devote your family to unity and to peace. When you do that, we can be in situations, and even my girls will say, Mom, I don't like the way that mom's talking to their kid right now. Because they recognize unhealthy. The goal is not that they move into unhealthy. Because when my kids are picking spouses, they're going to say, I don't like that. That doesn't look like Jesus. So parents, if that's what we're perpetuating, then that's what we have to practice. But if we're perpetuating the sins from our past, then we'll keep engaging in conflict that's unprofitable, that's unbiblical. And that what we'll do is we will look back over our life and have a ton of regrets instead of saying, you know what? We weren't perfect, but we did what God asked us to do. And I love my kids more today than I ever would have imagined when I was waking up 5 times a night to feed them. And that we're best friends. That's the goal. That's our heart. And let me tell you, parents who may be sitting here today and going, Misty, where was this message 20 years ago? Let me tell you something. You're never too late. Never too late. You're never too late to say, Mommy, sorry. Never. Daddy, sorry. Never. Go to them. Pursue them. And then when you're in that relationship with them and you feel like they're like, what's happening? Why are you weird? Just be like, you know what? I learned some stuff. And I learned that I didn't get it right. But you know what? From here on out, Daddy wants to do it different. Mommy wants to be different. And I want a relationship with you. If you have breath in your lungs, God's not done with you. So use what you have. Use whatever he's given you. All the resources that you have, use them. God has a perfect plan for your family. A perfect plan for your family. It doesn't matter if your kids are old or young. He still has a plan for your family. And how do you know that that relationship that felt broken, that God isn't going to do that to use this very moment to restore that relationship and restore that child? Some of us are praying for kids who are far off. And God's saying, I put you right there. They have your seed inside of them. They've got your DNA. Love them. Love them exactly where they are. If they're wild, pray for them. Don't tell them every single thing that they do wrong. It's a bad habit to get into. Just love them exactly where they are. Pray for them exactly where they are. You model Jesus to them. You model Jesus to them. Because we're not, remember, I'm going to say this every single time I get up here and speak. We do the best that we can until we know better, and then what? We do better. So when you know better, you're responsible for what you know. So if you know better, just do better. That's it. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you for your word today because I know that it doesn't return void. I know that it accomplishes what you've asked it to accomplish, God. And so I thank you that you're tailoring, even now, this word to our hearts. God, that you're teaching us, Father, how to construct this inside of our families, God, so that our ultimate goal can be unity. Lord, I pray for every family member in this room. Every parent, every grandparent, every mom, every dad, every kid. God, I pray that our hearts would change for one another. Lord, that we would fall so in love with you. God, that we would see people through the eyes of the blood. Perfect, spotless, blameless, like you see us. God, I pray that you would help us to stop walking in conditional love. But God, that you would teach us how to walk in unconditional, sacrificial love like you did for us. God, I pray for every parent in here, every grandparent, who feels like they may have messed up, they've blown it. God, I thank you that you are our Redeemer, that you redeem our time. And God, I just pray for family members who are afar off, Lord, that we call them back to your kingdom. God, we come against every assignment of the enemy. We declare it null and void. I thank you that this church will take back our families for you, God. I thank you that we draw a line in the sand. Satan, you will not cross that hedge of protection that has been provided for our family. And God, I thank you that we are going to walk in unity, that we're going to walk in love, and that every single thing that we say or do, Father God, we are going to remember that we have to give an account for it. Keep our minds steady on you. Even this week, God, as conflict arises, Lord, allow the self-discipline of your spirit to rise up inside of us. God, that we're not going to rely on our old patterns. God, we're not going to rely on our old ways of thinking. But God, we're going to renew our mind daily. We're going to get in your word. We're going to be in your presence. And that, God, as a result of that, we're going to see change in our families. And because of that change, we're going to see change in our communities. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.